Robinson, Hanover Road, Victoria Park, Adelaide, South Australia. November 7th, 1892. Elder Robinson, Somerset House, Rowland Street, Cape Town, South Africa. Dear brother and sister, I've just written to Brother Vessels and will now write a few lines to you. I received a letter yesterday from Willie, who is in Melbourne, stating that there was a boat going directly to Cape Town, Africa. He said he was going to send letters and books, and I thought it well to communicate to you on this favorable occasion. I wrote to you more than 3 months ago, but have not received any response. Probably it takes several months for the letter to reach you, and then to receive a reply. It would be very gratifying to hear from you as often as consistent. I am much better health-wise than when I last wrote to you. Still, I am suffering considerable. I can walk about home, and can dress and undress myself, do up my own hair, and get in and off the bed. The prostration of the nerves was the greatest difficulty with me, and rheumatism and malaria caused from the unsanitary condition of Melbourne, whose sewerage is all open. 9 months I was a helpless sufferer, but I was greatly comforted and blessed of the Lord. We came to this place about 6 weeks ago, and I know the climate is much better here than in Melbourne. There are some terraces here, but as a general thing, the houses are detached. We secured a furnished house of 6 rooms for a trifle over $7 per week. It is about 2 miles from the center of the city, or the city post office. The brethren pay £1 sterling a week for a horse and phaeton, which they have hired for me. The carriage is low, and I can get in and out without difficulty. Before I came here, my foot had to be raised in order for me to step into the carriage, but now I can manage nicely. This sickness, I am convinced, is a part of God's plan, and He always knows what is best. I have had a rich experience during this long illness. I have become better acquainted with the Saviour, and have had so many tokens of His presence and light and love, that I was really privileged in being sick and suffering, to feel myself the object of His special administration and tender care. The Lord Jesus was never more precious to me than now. In the long sleepless hours, it sometimes seemed dark in contemplating my future. Then I prayed most earnestly, and all was brightness. The unmistakable evidence I had of the presence of Jesus was everything to me. Through the grace of God, I was enabled to bear my suffering without murmuring or repining. I was enabled to use my right hand to hold the pen, and partly sitting and partly lying on the bed, I have written 1,700 pages of letter paper. And every day my heart was filled with joy and praise and thanksgiving that I could write out the many precious things that were impressed on my mind. My head has been clear, my memory never more correct and bright. Important ideas have been printed upon my mind, which I could trace upon paper, and I have tried to comfort others with the comfort wherewith I was comforted. In every mail I have sent letters to Elders Haskell and Olson. I have also written many letters to Elder Smith, and letters to our institutions at Oakland and Battle Creek, and some few communications to Elders Wagoner and Washburn, besides writing for the papers. The Lord God hath hitherto helped me, and His name shall have all the glory. I do magnify the Lord with my heart and with my voice. I am full of His praise. I love Jesus with my whole heart. There is so much that is being unfolded, and in the long sleepless nights, I have felt indeed very near to heaven. This prayer has seemed of great significance to me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is done in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 10. All heaven is engaged in the work of preparing a people to stand in the day of the Lord's preparation. The connection of heaven with earth seems very close, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the Church, the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3, verse 10. The restoring powers through the transforming grace upon the human agent is of highest value. The world, how sad it is, know not God. The heavenly intelligences are waiting with almost impatient earnestness to make him known to the human agents, that they may be laborers together with these heavenly angels in presenting Jesus, the world's Redeemer, full of grace and truth. The angels are watching and longing to see the human instrumentalities arriving, hastening to the situation. For on them devolves the work to cooperate with the heavenly ministration, to present Jesus to the world as he is, the only potentate and the propitiation for our sins.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Do we then make void the law through faith in Jesus Christ our righteousness? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Romans 3, verse 24 to 26, 31. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2, verse 2 to 4, 4, 10. The first tier of penitence for sins creates joy among the heavenly angels in the courts of heaven. The heavenly messengers are ready to be on the wing to minister to the soul who is seeking Jesus. To assure us of the identity of the interest of the angels with the living human agencies on earth, an angel was sent to dictate the solemn truths appropriate to the Church, which opens to them the realities which will take place in the closing scenes of this earth's history. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, the things which will transpire in the experience of God's people. And then he presents before us the only hope of the Church and the sure support and strength in that day. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22, verse 16. Then the grand and full and welcome invitation. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. That means that the living human agents are to echo the words of the Spirit and the Bride. And let him that is athirst come. We cannot now disappoint the multitudes that are hungering and thirsting for the bread of life and the waters of salvation. The invitation is to them to come, for all things are now ready. And whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely. Verse 17. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he saith unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God.
verses 6 to 9. Oh, how the pride of man is rebuked in these words. Even an angel from heaven is not to receive glory or adoration. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Verses 9 to 14. Grand and glorious things hath God prepared for those who love him. Angels are looking forward with earnest expectation to the final triumph of the people of God, when seraphim and cherubim and the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands shall swell the anthems of the blessed and celebrate the triumphs of the mediatorial achievements in the recovery of man. Revelation 5, verse 11. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews 1, verse 14. When the messengers of God bear the message to the churches and to the world, and the aggressive movement arouses the hostility of the powers of darkness and the confederacy of evil men who unite with satanic agencies, it is then we may fully comprehend the weighty words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12.
I have been shown that if angels occupied the place of man in the administration of the gospel, there would not be whole regions left in darkness and the shadow of death. The work would have been as is represented by the angel flying through the midst of heaven, proclaiming the everlasting gospel to them that dwell on the earth. But the Lord does nothing without the cooperation of man. Could the intense interest which the angels have for man be put into voice that would be heard by the human agent? What appeals would be heard in burning words to communicate to others that which heaven had communicated to them? Lift up Jesus, the crucified one, higher and still higher, and proclaim, Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. John 1, verse 29. Proclaim the wonderful theme of salvation, whereby man has been brought back into favor with God and harmony with the universe of heaven. How can any one of the human agents whose sins are forgiven be indifferent and careless in regard to his fellow men? Why should not every son and daughter of God be full of zeal and enthused with the Spirit of Jesus Christ to be determined and earnest to save the perishing? What would the angels say if you could hear their voices? When I saw you looking upon the commander of all heaven dying upon the cross, and saw that it was your sins that was laid upon him, that you may have another chance, a probation wherein your fidelity would be proved, his amazing love subdued your heart, broke every barrier down, and you believed in Jesus. You loved him that gave his life for you. You saw him full of grace and truth, and you exclaimed, Thy gentleness hath made me great. Psalm 18, verse 35. The whole heavenly host rejoiced when we saw you occupying your position in church capacity, and through this channel we could speak through your voices to the world as agents of our loved commander. Your capabilities devoted to Jesus Christ would bring many sons and daughters to glory. Not more surely is the place prepared in the heavenly mansions for his people than your appropriate place is designed of God in the earth to be co-workers with your Savior. In the arrangement of God, the order to which you now belong, every being from the loftiest angel to the lowliest has his course assigned him, his position of work and responsibility, and the ministering angels are to supply the inefficiency of the living agency. The heavenly intelligences combined with human agents become a unit in practical sympathy in the saving of that which is lost. The enlargement of the kingdom of Christ in the representation of his character to the world, and the glory which will roll up from the voices of those who are redeemed by his love. The sincere, earnest effort, be it ever so little, that is put forth for the saving of the souls for whom Christ died, thrills through the principalities and powers of heaven and engages the sympathies and cooperation of the divine. These thoughts have taken a deep hold upon me. I see more clearly than ever before that, in the grand work of redemption, man has a distinct part to act. As the subject of the grace of God, man is to use his intellect to the very highest of his capability to devise and plan that every agency shall be set in operation, and to lay hold by living faith upon the strength of a living advocate who is before the throne in behalf of the work devoted to the saving of souls that are ready to perish. Educate and train every faculty for the highest kind of service, to withstand the effects of sin by doing the will of God on earth, by representing Jesus and holding him up and exalting him that the eye may rest on Jesus, and thus man may cooperate with God. Angels of God who know the value of the great sacrifice made by the Son of God are amazed at the widespread indifference of the church who have had the light of the everlasting gospel. This work is marked in all its dimensions, and they see the great glory that would belong to God and the great good to themselves in harmonizing with divine instrumentalities in the grand work of saving souls to Jesus Christ. The consequences are so fearful, the responsibilities involved so deep and wide. Gladly would heavenly angels resign their places to you, that they might take your place and discharge your God-given trust.
Use your human powers, with the advantages at your command of the divine powers, to cooperate with the human, to honor man in drawing souls to Jesus Christ. Intensely desirous are the angels of God to behold the completion and triumph of the mediatorial work of Christ in relation to the recovery of and exaltation of man, and to view the only begotten of the Father seated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, encircled by the throne of the universe and all dominions and principalities and powers of heaven, all radiant with glory. And so fully are they acquainted with the outer human agencies that the sanctified instrumentalities are essential in cooperation with the divine to consummate this great work, that they are bringing to man all the powers of heaven to unite with their consecrated, sanctified ability. For man must be the human channel to communicate with man. Each angel is at his post to fulfill the commission of heaven. The heavenly, unknown worlds are watching in suspense the great events which are working up under the Prince of Darkness, preparing the vials of the wrath of God. Every power that is now in harmony with heaven is to be awake. Zion is to arise and shine, for the glory of God is risen upon her. There is to be no strife one with another. Too late, brethren, too late. Altogether too late. We are in the day of God's preparation. There must be no difference, no pride of opinion, no selfishness, no seeking for the supremacy. All heaven expects every soldier of Jesus Christ to put the armor on and prepare for the battle. There are to be great endeavors now,
The influence of those who have had the truth and who are sanctified through the truth are to be one, reaching the highest efficiency to set in operation every human agency to do the highest service. The God of heaven has pledged you the divine cooperation. All the Lord asks of any man is to do his present duty in the sight of the agencies of heaven and leave the Lord to act his part according to his promise. All the armies of faith stand revealed as soldiers of Jesus Christ, and the heavenly cloud of witnesses are not merely watching, but uniting their supernatural agencies with the natural, and their power is through the medium of faith in the human agent exerting a practical influence on every working agency. God not only unites the diversified influences into one agency, but all agencies which have been accumulated from generation to generation to bestow its treasury of accumulation on the succeeding generation in the church. We have the light and experience of ages in the past and accumulated impetus greater than the generation that preceded it. It is time we understood our calling, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did administer the things which are now reported unto you by those that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 10-13. No Christian should ever feel that he may be unemployed. Christ Jesus has given us an example in his life. As head of the church, he requires that each individual Christian surrender himself, soul and body and spirit, and his possessions to the Lord, to work daily for the conversion of souls to Jesus Christ. All power in heaven and earth he commands, and combines his divine sympathies and angelic instrumentalities with the living human agent on earth. Thus, no Christian is to be unemployed. My brother, I have been shown that every minister has something more to do than to preach. There is a necessity of educating, to develop talent and workers, that men may be selected and sent out to do some part of the work that is essential to be done. God would have the souls that are brought to a knowledge of the truth communicate it to others. Every member of the church is to do something in the service of God to help forward the grand work of saving souls, and in the place of envy and evil surmisings, one church is to rejoice in the success and triumph of all. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. Let each inquire of God, where is my post of duty? What shall I do for the Master? He will direct your path.